Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Motor Mouth Podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. This is the place where we meet some of the biggest names in and around motorsport, chat about their lives and everything in between.
We've partnered with the Brain Tumor Charity, helping to raise awareness and help find a cure. Thanks to our partnership, we've been able to create a short series of special podcasts uncovering those within the motorsport community who've been affected by these devastating diagnoses. You can hear those stories, including the Williams F1 team's planning director, Richard Jones, right now on your chosen podcast player. Also, bookings are still available for the Motormouth charity karting event, with places on August the 10th still on general sale. Enter your team of four to an endurance race and compete with and against a host of motorsport celebs or pro drivers who will be drawn at random to be on your team. Gates open at 12:30 and close at 6 p.m. For all the information and to see who you could be up against, head to motormouthkartrace.com. We'll see you there, and together we can help every single person affected by a brain tumour. It's season 8 and we're really excited to be once again teaming up with F1 Experiences, the official experience, hospitality and travel program of Formula 1. F1 Experiences is the closest you can get to the pinnacle of motorsport. And let's face it, any chance to get close to Formula 1 this year, we are all over it. And the brilliant news is you can now return trackside thanks to F1 Experiences. Enjoy the very best race tickets and track hospitality, first class hotel, and unprecedented access you simply cannot get anywhere else. For more information on how you can book your F1 experience, visit f1experiences.com, where you can also save 5% on your very own F1 experiences package by using the code MOTORMOUTH when checking out online. So what are you waiting for? Experience the 2021 F1 season firsthand with exclusive access courtesy of F1 experiences. Get booking today at f1experiences.com.
Hello everyone, Tim Sylvie here. Now today's guest hails from Hampshire in the south of the UK, and Headley to be precise. Now, while Headley doesn't seem to be of any great historical interest, apart from the fact I used to live near there, I can tell you, Harry Benjamin, that Hampshire is the largest county in the southeast and the ninth largest in England by area. Highclere Castle in the Hants countryside is featured in Downton Abbey, no less. The Spitfire from the war was invented in Hampshire in a place called Eastleigh. And Burberry, the fashion giant, was established in Basingstoke by Thomas Burberry, who stumbled across a waterproof fabric that went on to become the iconic Burberry trench coat. I could go on, but I won't. What do you make of that, my friend?
Oh, that's very cool. You just stumble across a waterproof piece of material and then you make a fair few quid, I think it's fair to say, in the Burberry brand. Not bad for Hampshire, pretty decent.
I think the Burberry family have done all right for themselves. What's new with you? How's the commentary going?
Yeah, all good. Porsche, bit of Formula 2, bit of Formula 3 as well. So that's all been fun. Summer break now, so that's nice for a bit, although I'm doing some MotoGP as well, and that break has just ended. So not too many weekends off, sadly. But I'll tell you one thing. I went to the gym this morning.
For the first time
in about 6 months, and I had a personal trainer. And we went for over an hour, and I was nearly sick at least twice. It was horrific. But actually, I'll go back.
Well, we'll see. If you've signed up to a personal trainer, you kind of have to.
Well, only a one-off, and when it's 40 quid a month, I've got to keep that in there. I'm not just going to give them my money. The amount of gyms they've taken my money is unacceptable.
Yeah. And then
we're going to power through. This is the time. Love Island 2022 is what we're going for.
Yeah. Love Island with the motorsport interest.
Exactly. There's already one in there.
Well, there was one in there.
Oh, is he out? Oh, no. I'm not watching it.
I think he's out now. He might be coming to our karting event. Incidentally, I should mention the karting event before we start because Wednesday the 4th, this goes out. So less than a week from the day that this is released is the first ever Motormouth Charity Karting Cup at Wilton Mill. We've got tons of people coming. Kelvin Fletcher, Liam Lawson, the F2 driver, Hayden Gullis, Freddie Hunt, Matt Ames, Tom McCluskey. The list goes on. British touring car drivers, Formula E. We've got a Formula One car coming. James Hunt's Hesketh 308 Mark I Formula One car is coming. We're firing that up and taking that around the track. We've got loads going on. The teams are sold out, but you can still come on the day. So if people want to come and just join in, have a barbecue, listen to some music, watch some racing, meet some celebrities and some pro drivers, come along 10th of August from 12:30, gates open at Wilton Mill Kart Track near Devonshire. Make sure to come along. Anyway, enough of our rambling. We're leaving our guest hanging. Should we bring her in?
Let's do it.
So today we're joined by Jessica Hawkins, who was recently named as a driver ambassador for the Aston Martin Cognizant Formula One team. She's also a star of the fantastic W Series, which is racing alongside Formula One in support of 8 race weekends. She's a former karting champion, has raced in Formula Ford, F4, British Touring Cars, Jaguar I-Pace, E-Trophy, and the Mini Challenge. She's also a stunt driver, and that is a first for us on this show. She's here to dive into her path to the top, her opinions, thoughts, future, and maybe even what she's scared of. Ladies and gents, please welcome Jessica Hawkins to the Motormouth Podcast.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
Not too bad. Yeah, how are you getting on?
I mean, your wonderful fact about Hampshire is incredible, but I don't actually live in Hampshire.
What? Where do you live?
I live in Milton Keynes.
Tell me you were born in Hampshire.
I wasn't even born in Hampshire, although I have lived in Hampshire, but not for a long time.
Oh, you know what's done this? Wikipedia.
I never look at Wikipedia for these facts, you know. And then this time, but on Wikipedia, it says, I'm going to have to check your Wikipedia. It says you're from Hampshire, right? So I was like, okay, cool. I used to live near there. That's all good. I'm going to Google it. Went on to Wikipedia to get some facts. British racing track. You're from East Hampshire in England. It tells me so.
Wikipedia is definitely lying. So I was born in Poole. I then did live in Hampshire for a while, near Headley, but I've not been there for maybe 4 or 5 years now.
Hold on. So you've lived in Headley?
Not in Headley, near Headley.
So my facts are not completely wrong?
Not completely wrong, just the time scale is a little out.
Fine, I'll take that. So I stand by my Hampshire-based facts. Safe in the knowledge that at some point in your life, you briefly lived there.
I love how polite you were about that. It was great, great for Hampshire, but I'm not there. So are you in Milton Keynes right now, Jess?
I'm in Milton Keynes right now, yes. I got back from Hungary early hours of the morning, very early hours, actually.
Oh, God. Well done. But thank you for joining us on a Monday afternoon after post-Hungary. Well, then, we've established where you are and where you're from and where you're not from. So now we'll get into the crux of things. Let's go back to the very start, way before Hampshire and Milton Keynes. Where did this love of motorsport come from? Was it from the get-go or was it in the family?
Not really in the family. Do you know what? When I was really, really young, I didn't even know what car racing was. It was just, I was a really sporty kid, really, really sporty, any sports, and I was probably useless at anything else other than sports. From a really young age, since I can remember, my parents were separated, so I used to spend every other weekend with my dad and we used to go and play a number of different sports. And we were playing golf one day at Sandown Park. And in the distance, there was a go-kart track. I didn't really know what it was, but basically I begged my dad to let me have a go. And we went over there, and fortunately for him, I was way below the height restriction. But a few months later, we went back, and although I hadn't grown much, they had got some smaller carts in, and the height restriction had dramatically dropped. So I had a go, and that was it. Literally fell in love with it straight away. And it's here we are 18 or 19 years later, and I'm still involved in motorsport and still love it as much as I did then.
When you first started karting competitively, was there other females in the sport at that stage? Were you seeing other girls taking part? And have you noticed, you know, taking W Series out of the equation for a moment, over the years, have you noticed an increase in participation at all?
So many. I mean, I can, when I first started at 8 or 9, I can remember maybe one or two other females within certainly the karting world. And now there are so many more, not just drivers, but engineers, strategists, mechanics, all across the board of motorsport. There are certainly more females, which is fantastic. And I think W Series really is a driving force forward behind that.
Yeah, it's done some interesting things for the sport. We'll obviously come on to W Series a little bit later on. But let's start off with your transition into full-blown racing following karts. Take us through those early years in single-seaters and Formula Ford. When you made that step up, did it feel like a giant leap, or did you feel relatively comfortable straight away?
Yeah, I mean, I was comfortable, but I was so unprepared. I don't think it's any secret that motorsport, and especially single-seaters, is extremely expensive. Yeah. It wasn't something that I was ready and I wasn't ready. I mean, the first time I raced a single-seater, I'd never seen the track before. I'd never driven a single-seater before. So I was actually really unprepared, but the opportunity arose and I would have been stupid to say no. Looking back... It was incredibly annoying because we were competing against people that had just been out so many times. But I think considering that, the results were actually really good considering. And that's been kind of a very similar thing throughout my career. I've just had to take opportunities as they've arisen, even if I've been severely unprepared. But in the long run, it's probably actually done me quite well because I've had to adapt quickly to what I'm driving. Whilst it was frustrating at the time, it's actually probably done me the world of good.
Properly dropped in at the deep end then for the early starts of it. But it wasn't long before you sort of made your way up the ladder, if we fast forward a bit to winning in the mini challenge as well that you took part in 2017, I think it was. And you really started picking up wins there. So that must have been, you know, quite satisfying for you to sort of be competing in a competitive and known series as well at that level, and being on the ladder, mixing it with the best of that age as well, and getting wins on the board.
Definitely. And I think it was, so that the mini championship was my first full season of racing. Prior to that, I'd done maybe one race a year.
Wow.
maybe two races a year. So that was really quite unexpected, the success that we had in that, because again, I had one test day before the beginning of the year. And I did it at the time, I only had the budget for the first three rounds, but we ended up winning the first three rounds. So then it became a little bit easier to pull favours to be able to finish the season. So yeah, well, and the minis was, honestly, they're so much fun. And it was great racing, and it was great to have a full season in motorsport, full season in cars. That's what I needed. And to be honest, I still lack experience. I've only ever done two full seasons of racing, and whilst I have been, you know, I've been in some high profile series, I'm actually probably really quite unprepared for it. But again, I'd be silly to say no to the opportunity.
Yeah,
it's just all about racking up those miles, isn't it, under your belt and trying to gain all that experience. But then doing the mini, and then suddenly Fast and Furious. Talk me through that.
I know, yeah, what an incredible
talking about opportunity and just saying yes.
I know, and it was just something that it's the same set of skills, I would say, just used in a completely different way. And I was lucky that I was able to adapt my driving to the kind of stunt driving and drift world, and that led me to get that job. as a stunt driver for one of them. And then I had 3 months intensive training preparing for the show. So I learned so many different skills and that you would never need for racing that I'd never done before. But honestly, it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And yeah, same set of skills, just used in a completely different way.
But that's a really handy skill to have, because is it Terry Grant, the stunt driver? Is that his name? I think it's Terry Grant. And he's built a career out of doing stunt driving. You know, he does stuff at Goodwood, you know, spins around a guy standing there on the track and all sorts of stuff. He's built up a really good reputation and a successful career doing that sort of thing. And presumably this is Fast and Furious live, right? Is this presumably some sort of live event or show with a live audience where there's stunts going on? Is that what was happening?
Yeah, so it was basically a recreation of all of the big stunts throughout the Fast and Furious franchise movies. We basically recreated all of those stunts, but we did it live. And we sold out places like the O2 Arena. Wow. Honestly, that's where we premiered at the O2. And then we went we toured Europe basically, performing at places like the O2, but in different countries, obviously. And yeah, honestly, like, what a strange career path to take. But at the time, I was in this horrible rut that I couldn't find any money to go racing. The opportunity arose. I made the most of it. And it's opened up another world for me.
Yeah.
And I'm, whilst people around me at the time were kind of dubious about me going to do it because I'd spent so long on this motorsport path and trying to find my way, it was genuinely so amazing. And I worked with some of the best drivers in the world.
Yeah.
And performers, and yes, it's opened up a whole new world. And I met Terry actually towards the end of the shows, and he's a great, great guy, very talented, and I have a lot of time for him.
Yeah, and like you say, it did open up other doors, and you didn't stop just with Fast and Furious Live. You went on to feature in another of one of the biggest movie series of all time, James Bond and No Time to Die. Was this a similar thing? How did this come about? Was this as a direct result of Fast and Furious?
It was actually through Terry. So I'd met Terry, and Terry introduced me. So obviously the Bond coordinator, Lee Morrison, was looking for a female to join his stunt driving team. So I had a quick audition with him, and he quickly welcomed me to the team. But it was quite a daunting experience because I'd only ever done, I think, a couple of days on a TV series before. So thrown in the deep end at Bond, but again, an incredible experience. And I met and worked with the most talented people you could ever imagine.
Maybe. We have to wait. That film, it's not out yet, and they delayed it by like a year, haven't they, because of COVID.
All I can say is that it's going to be well worth the wait.
There we go. No spoilers. Nicely done. Back to racing, though, because it wasn't the end. And this is where we do get on to, of course, the W Series. And we've had lots of your colleagues on previously. I think Emma Kimmelainen's been on the show, as has Abby Eaton as well. So we are big fans of the W Series. And it was announced, obviously, in 2019. And you were there right from the very start. And obviously, despite the year off that was forced to be had due to COVID, how have you seen it develop over, you know, the very short amount of time it's actually been around for in terms of actually track action as well? Because in its short life, it already seems to be doing quite a lot. It's still got obviously a long way to go as well. But how have you seen it develop over the last couple of years?
I mean, so first and foremost, I genuinely would not be racing without W Series. So I have so much to thank them for. And yeah, never would I ever have the opportunity to race a Formula 3 car without them.
Actually, how did it come about? Did you hear about it on the grapevine, or did someone approach you?
Yeah, I heard about it through the grapevine. I think it was my mum that saw it before I did, and she kind of showed me. I was no huge fan at the first time I heard about it, but that was because I didn't know enough about it. And as soon as I learned more about it and, you know, their goals and ambitions for the series, I thought I'd be stupid to not apply. So I applied, made it through, obviously, to one of the lucky 18 or 20 drivers. And yeah, the first half of 2019, I was really tough. Again, I was severely unprepared and I had no testing leading up to it. And I'd not been driving a race car in a very long time. And single seaters is extremely tough. You know, there's no substitute for seat time. But the second half of the seat, and I'd always be fast enough. I'd always be, apart from the first round, I'd always be top three in testing. And then I'd really struggle on the new tire run and qualifying just because I never go new tires. Could never kind of find the sweet spot with them. But then my luck kind of changed halfway through the season. I really started to get the hang of it and had a really strong season 2019. And I could have really done with going back to back. I really could have done with the season in 2020 because I think I would have started how I finished. But unfortunately, due to nobody's fault, 2020 didn't happen, which I think has set me back again a little bit because most of the girls have been out regularly racing and I haven't. So I'd say, to say the least, it's been a tough start to this season. I've had a few penalties for some silly mistakes. But I finally scored a point that I can keep this weekend. So I'm hoping that this is the turning point for the championship for me. And I can, you know, start to go on as I finished in 2019.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that for sure. You mentioned just there at the start that your opinion perhaps changed of the series from when you first heard about it to when you became when you learned more about it and became involved with it. What was it that changed? Well, we've spoken to a few people about this sort of thing and lots of drivers, and I've spoken to Jamie Chadwick about it in the past. When she first heard about it, she wasn't necessarily totally over enamored with it. What do you think has changed people's perceptions about it? Because I think all of us, myself included, were sceptical about this female-only series when it first came out and thought, is this actually going to do any good for female racing, or is it just creating more segregation? How has your perception of the series changed since you first heard about it?
It is just run so professionally. It is so professional. The guys and women behind it are so passionate about it. It's giving an opportunity to females that perhaps wouldn't have that opportunity without them, one of them being myself. And yeah, it's just an incredible thing to be involved with. And I think it speaks for itself that obviously it started on the DTM package in 2019. And in 2021, we're a support package for the Formula One. I think that speaks for itself. And it just proves that it is the forefront and it is doing an incredible job in giving opportunities to those that may not have it.
And do you think we will see, when do you think, because it will happen at some point, that we'll get a female coming through the system into Formula One? First of all, do you think W Series is the answer to that? And second of all, are you able to give any kind of timeline as to when we'll see the first full-blown F1 seat go to a female driver?
I wish I had a crystal ball. Unfortunately, I don't. I'd say certainly it's going to be within my lifetime. I'd obviously love for it to be me. But I'd say that it's more likely to be someone from maybe a younger generation. We are starting to see more females, and I'd say that the reason that there isn't one is because there's such a severe lack of us around that the likelihood is that, I mean, I don't actually know the figure, but let's say that there's one female racing driver to every 1,000 races. That is such a small percentage of females compared to the bigger picture, the likelihood is that a female isn't going to make it. But certainly we are starting to see more, and I think that as soon as there is a female with the talent and the money and the backing from a young age, then they will make it. But I do think they need to be recognised quite early on and given that opportunity early on.
Yeah.
And certainly if W Series is set, even if it's not a direct W Series to Formula One, it's certainly going to have helped at some point, whether it's inspiring them from a young age or giving them a boost when they needed it in a drive. I do believe the W Series will have had some part to play in it.
A quick interruption to the show to remind you to check out our sponsor, F1 Experiences. F1 Experiences offer a wide range of packages that come direct from Formula One, giving you a unique experience of the pinnacle of motorsport. Official ticket packages come with the very best race tickets, first-class hotels and transfers, and unprecedented access, including track tours, pit lane walks, VIP hospitality, and loads more. It really is the closest you can get to Formula One, and thanks to F1 F1 experiences, you can return to the track this year, and Motormouth listeners can save 5% on your next F1 experiences package by using the code Motormouth when booking online at f1experiences.com.
So it certainly does open up opportunities and different doors, and not necessarily doors that continue in the single-seater world. British Touring Cars, a fantastic championship with some incredible, incredible drivers, legends inside the sport. And you had your opportunity there as well. I mean, what a series to take part in. How did this opportunity come about?
So the first one in 2020 was obviously Powermax were putting different people in the car each race. Obviously, yeah, the opportunity arose and Touring Car lies close to my heart. I've always wanted to do it and I had the opportunity, so I took it. Our pace was really quite strong. Unfortunately, that wasn't translated into race results, but I cannot stress how difficult that championship is.
Yeah.
How difficult. And there is no substitute for seat time in that. And I didn't get any, but I'm extremely proud of my pace. I don't think anybody was expecting me to be as quick as I was. And I think we were lapping faster than like top 10 at times. And then a couple of months ago even, my drive with Motorbase was completely unexpected. Andy Neat, I had a phone call from him saying that he would like a weekend off due to some personal reasons and that he would like to put me in the seat. So obviously I jumped at that opportunity, again, really quite quick, but every start, they're really quite complicated to get off the line, like incredibly complicated. So every start, although I qualified really well, every start, one of them, I was sat in a pool of my own smoke on the start line because I released the wrong button at the wrong time. And I was just sat wheel spinning. And the other one, I just didn't get off the line very well at all. So
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Again, pace really strong, but results didn't translate. But it's such a tough championship that, you know, even people that have been in it years still struggle with touring cars. So yes, that is something that certainly I will be looking, and I have previously been looking at trying to secure a full season, but so far, no luck.
There's time.
Yes.
That's not something that I've given up on.
No, absolutely. There's time on that one. It's one of those championships that you think, if I put myself in your shoes and I found myself in a British touring car grid and I'm looking over at like Matt Neal and Tom Chilton and, you know, Jason Plato, I would just completely bottle it. I'd be a puddle of a human being. I couldn't cope with that. That would be too much for me. So I really hope we see you in that. I think you did fantastically well in that championship. Now, I want to move on to your brand, if you like. So you've built up a sizable social media following, approaching 80,000 Instagram followers as we record today. And social media obviously isn't just about building a brand. Isn't just about fun, it's about building a brand and to make yourself into a marketable asset for endorsements and partnerships and so on. Not least Aston Martin, Cognizant, Formula One team. And for those who are just listening to this, Jess is wearing she's regaled in the full Aston Martin gear. She's got her green top on with the branding, the cap. She's got a lovely virtual background with the race car on it and the Aston Martin logo sitting proudly there in the background. So you've done incredibly well through social media to set up relationships with the likes of EB Watches and Powered by TDF, which are both brands we've not heard of but looked into once we started researching you. So a couple of points here, I suppose. First, advice for other drivers, young drivers coming up through the sports. How have you landed these opportunities? Have you got management to support you? Have you done it yourself? And secondly, just tell us a little bit about some of your partners, because some of them are quite interesting.
Firstly, I don't think that any of my deals were off the back of social media, if I'm honest. I think that I gained a fair few when I was announced with Aston Martin Cognizant Formula One team. And do you know what? Most of my... Powered by TDF, I basically they couldn't find anyone to drive the car, and I was the only person available. And I ended up being faster than a few people I shouldn't have been faster than. So they then offered me a job as their development driver, which I took, obviously. And that's been a partnership now that's been standing for a good few years. So I still do a lot of their development work. Mm-hmm. And they're a great team there. And I don't think anything has been off the back of social media. And if there's someone that you need to speak to about building partnerships off of the back of social media, it's not me, because I've not been very good at it previously. So, but I do have a few more followers now, so maybe it will become a little bit easier. But yeah, being announced as a Aston Martin Cognizant Formula One driver ambassador was an incredible opportunity, and it's been a long time in the making. And I'm so proud to be a part of the team. And instantly, within my first day of being there, I felt a part of the team. Everybody was so welcoming, they're so supportive, and I genuinely do feel a part of the team.
Well, let's talk proper then, shall we, Formula One? Because as you say, you were fairly only recently announced as the ambassador for the Aston Martin F1 Cognizant team, who have obviously had a rebrand this year in terms of across the whole business, and looking that they've been improving with every race so far, nonetheless with the Hungary result, although that's a little bit in contention, I think, but we won't dwell too much on that, because it really is quite an exciting opportunity, and one of the first of its kind properly, I think, because, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, any other particularly female drivers who've been announced as brand ambassadors for teams, and particularly with Aston Martin, we know they're huge on especially LGBTQ plus issues as well. They're all about diversity. So it must be such a brilliant place to find yourself. How did it first come about? When were the talks beginning?
Quite a while ago, actually. This has been low-level chats, and it wasn't really until a few months ago, maybe a little bit longer now, that it really became something that looking like it may happen. I think that they were very interested in my stunt work. Obviously, racing as well helps. Mainly, I think it was my stunt work that they were interested in, helping them out with their brand partnerships and stuff like that. Now, obviously, for me, the next step is to drive the car. Yep. But I will walk before I can run. But I would say never say never. Should the opportunity arise, I'm going to jump on it. I'll be starting in the sim soon, I believe. I'm going to be a sponge and soak everything I can up. And working with Seb Lance is crazy.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What's it like having them? Because obviously they're both pretty decent. In fact, one of them is a four-time world champion. So not too shabby to be working in the sim if he's the race driver.
I just can't believe how welcoming they both were. And Lance and Seb's even had me on two of his track walks. And he's shown a genuine interest in my racing and my career. And he's such a genuine guy and he wants to help. All of the team want to help. I'd like to think that, you know, they've maybe recognised something in me. I don't know. I don't know. And despite my results, despite my lack of experience, I think are quite good. Although to the outside world, they're not. But with the lack of experience, I think they're good. So yeah, I'm just a sponge at the moment, going to soak everything I can up, and hopefully it's a long term partnership.
Yeah, I think from what we've seen, the announcement's gone down incredibly well. And despite your, you know, relative lack of experience, I think it's a very, very positive move by the team. And looking into it on social media, it seems like it's gone down very well with fans across the world. Now, very important part of the podcast, because I've actually had a text message from Abby Eaton. So she's obviously aware that you're coming on the show. Abby is a friend of the show. We've had her on the show a couple of times, actually. And she's got two questions for you. She says, what are you cooking, Abby, for dinner? First question.
Probably, I don't know. I was not ready for this question. Salmon? I don't know.
Salmon.
It's her turn to cook. Tell her it's her turn to cook.
I'll pass on the message. Yeah. So no salmon for Abby. It's her turn to cook. I'll pass that on. And she says, "What is Abby up to right now? If you don't know, she's washing the clothes from your race weekend. So well done, Abby."
You know what? Before I started this podcast, I said we need to do some washing after my podcast, and she said, "Don't worry, I'll do it."
Ah, there you go.
You're not going to say no to that, are you?
I'm not going
to
say no, am I?
I'm just telling her that you are cooking tonight. Any requests? I mean, do you want salmon?
What do I want? Yeah, let's have salmon. Salmon, rice and broccoli I'm going with.
Oh, very nice, very healthy.
She wants salmon.
Get all a side of salad cream.
What? Ooh. Salad cream with that? That's odd.
Is it?
Do you eat the grey bit at the bottom as well?
No, Abby's really fussy about the grey bit.
Yeah, so am I. I can't even know. I can't touch it. It's horrible.
I said to Abby, you're cooking tonight. She wants salmon, rice, broccoli with a side of salad cream. Oh, sales cream? Salad cream. That sounds like a weird combination. Salad cream with salmon. That doesn't sound normal.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Fair point. I have salad cream with beans on toast. It's amazing.
I'd say that's even stranger.
I would as well, actually.
Well, there we go. I mean, I like having weird food. I have mint sauce with my roast chicken, and I have onion rings with roast chicken, which apparently is a strange thing to do, but I've done it since I was a kid.
Mint sauce with chicken, that's a winner.
Yeah.
Mint sauce with lamb, though, isn't that the usual combo?
It is, but it tastes really good with pretty much anything. So roast chicken with mint sauce, I'd highly recommend.
Okay.
Mm. I can get on with that.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all on board with that. I've passed the message on to Abby. So if I get a response during the show, I'll let you know whether she's...
Thank you. She's literally in the room behind me.
Is she?
You can probably hear this conversation, yeah.
Abby, if you can hear me, come and say hi.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, while we wait for the dinner options to be decided, Jess, what does the future hold for you, hopefully? If everything goes the way you want it to, what are you looking for? What are your next sort of aims for the rest of this year and beyond?
To be honest, I had a lot of penalties this year, so I'm going to veer away from penalties. And I think I'd be quite high up in the championship if it wasn't for that. But I'm on the back foot at the moment, so hopefully a strong finish to the year. Moving into next year, who knows, I've always never said no to any opportunity, so I don't know, we'll see.
Now, you're obviously a very good racing driver, we all know that, but are you good at anything else? If you weren't to be a racing driver, I guess what would you have been? What's your thing outside of racing?
I'd really like to be a stunt woman.
Makes sense.
Like
a driving one, or just leaping around out of aeroplanes and stuff like that?
Leaping around out of aeroplanes. Wow. And driving, but leaping around out of aeroplanes, off of buildings, like mad ass, bad ass stuff. Nice. I would really like that. Being shot, you know. Love it.
Shoot me.
I think that's the first time we've had that on the show, for sure.
Really?
That would be cool. No one's ever said being any kind of stunt person ever.
That would be quite cool. Honestly, and I can't tell you how talented they are. They are so talented. Yeah.
Well, go on then. Let's flip it on its head. What are you terrible at? Just absolutely awful.
Anything that isn't driving.
How is your cooking? Is that salmon going to be burned?
Do you know what? I actually relatively enjoy cooking, but I don't think it's that bad. It's edible, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
It's not terrible. If I really think about it, it could probably be quite good, but I'm normally like simple option, like salmon, rice.
Quick and easy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really, I'm sure there are many ways to spice it up a little bit, but.
Can't be asked.
Yeah, I don't know how to, really. I don't know how to. What am I really bad at? Really bad. You're probably better off asking Abby that.
Oh.
Keeping tidy.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really bad at that. Not really bad. Abby is mildly tidier than I am.
I feel like she's here.
I'll tell you what I'm really bad at.
Yeah, go on.
Are you one of these people that, like, put fuel in at the right last second?
No. No, not me. No, and that's bad for your car.
You let it run all the way to as low as possible?
Not zero, but to the point where I'm like,
Yeah, I'm like that.
No, that's bad. That you shouldn't do that.
Why not? Right. That's the whole point, isn't it?
No, because my father-in-law runs a tyre and exhaust depot, and if I ever get too low, he tells me off. It's bad for the engine to go too low constantly on your car. I know it's like a fun little game, you know, can I make it to the petrol station?
I don't really find it fun.
It's not fun.
No, it's stressful, if anything. Will I make it to the petrol station? All right, well, we've established just what you're good at outside of racing, what you're terrible at. Who is your best mate in the paddock?
I think we know this
one. No pressure.
Esme Hawkey.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah, Esme Hawkey. So she was in the W Series in 2019. I'd never met her before, but she very quickly turned into one of her best mates. She's very funny as well. That's such a difficult question.
We are hard hitting on this podcast.
Many a good friend, within motorsport. Most of my friends are within motorsport because I seem to not have a life outside of it. a good few friends outside of motorsport as well. But I'd say that once you're in motorsport, you're part of the family, and that's what you roll with.
Yeah, and I'm curious to know what general advice you would give to people coming up through the ranks of motorsport. I mean, you know, you mentioned there about motorsport being a family, and it is a relatively small industry, and you know, the people you meet on the way up are often people that will give you a leg up later on, further down the line, and relationships are all important. But for those girls that are looking at you and the likes of Jamie and Emma Kimmelainen and others at the moment and thinking that's the route I want to go down, what advice would you give those younger girls who are thinking about making the jump into karts perhaps, or into cars for the first time?
I would say there's probably many different bits of advice different drivers would give you, but certainly from my point of view and the way that my career has gone, I would say never say no to any opportunity. Always consider them, even if they don't seem like the most conventional, perfect thing to do at the time. They're certainly worth a consideration, and just keep working hard and never give up.
Yeah, good, great advice. No, I think that's very sound. Sorry if I sound slightly distracted. Abby continues to rear her head in this podcast. She has replied and says, I demand risotto. And she says, Jessica never cooks, but when she does, it's always extremely delicious. So we're finishing with Abby on a high.
If she asked me to cook anything, it's always risotto. Always risotto. I should have seen that coming.
Well, there you go.
And never cook. In fact, I'll show her what it's like to never cook now.
Oh dear.
Causing trouble, Timothy. You're causing trouble. Jess, coolest car you have ever driven anywhere? Race car, road car, coolest one? Ooh, tough one.
So difficult. That is so difficult.
Surely you've got to say an Aston Martin here.
Yeah, it's what Aston Martin did you say?
An Aston Martin.
There we go.
There we go.
Keeping the employees happy. I think Aston Martin do make very cool cars, and I think that's a logical choice.
I'll tell you what, actually, just on the subject of Aston Martin, so I was at Carfest a week or so ago, this massive car festival that Chris Evans, the Virgin Radio broadcaster, does, and they had these amazing cars, and Aston Martin supplied three awesome cars. They supplied the safety car, which was just really cool to see in person, the DBX, the SUV, which is a bit of a machine, and the DB5
Goldfinger edition. So the car from James Bond Goldfinger, but it was simultaneously the newest Aston Martin and the oldest one.
Very cool.
Because it was basically a recreation of the original DB5. But to see it in person, and it had a smoke screen, it had guns coming out the front, it had an ejector seat. It was insane. It was so cool. Yeah.
Such an iconic car, and I think it always will be as well.
Yeah, you just know it instantly. You don't even have to guess what it is. You just know it straight away. So good.
Now, listen, we're nearly at time. It's flown by, but we do have a final three questions, which are brought to you by our friends over at F1 Experiences. We've actually covered off what there was going to be four, but we covered one of them off already in terms of, if not doing what you're doing, what would you be doing? So we'll stick to the other three. Harry, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, Jess, what has got you excited at the moment? Risotto?
I'm actually really excited to be back with the team in Monza. Obviously, I haven't been able to be with them for a while because I've been racing, but I'm really excited to get back to the team and I'll be with them at Monza.
Fantastic. Very highbrow question. What are you scared of?
Slugs.
Slugs? This is topical.
That was quick.
That was very quick. And this is good. So at the weekend, I was in Norfolk. And it's been a lot of rain lately. And my mum lives in an old rectory. This is going somewhere. Bear with me. And she's got a few acres out the back. And there's a sort of woodland that leads to a field, not that's sort of outside of her perimeter. But this rain came and it drove the slugs out. And she had about 20,000 slugs, no joke, all over the lawn. It was like the Armada. It was the Spanish Armada of slugs. And they were everywhere. You literally couldn't step foot on the ground without squashing about five or six slugs. So it would have been absolute hell for you.
Yeah, I'm not down for that.
Where does this...
I've got a new puppy as well, and he's been taken to eating slugs. Great, which man. Is
really?
Also not... He just... actually, not even slugs, snails. But when he picks them out of the shell, then they are slugs. I don't know how it works, but it's just...
Yeah, not keen for that. Not keen.
Where does the irrational fear of slugs come from?
I don't actually know. You'd think it would be something like tigers or sharks or something really vicious, wouldn't you? Not slugs.
A slug.
But I have no answer.
You're more likely to come across a slug than you are a tiger in your lifetime, I imagine.
Yeah, that's very true.
Out in the wild. Yeah, or a shark. We had Sebastian Buemi on the show about a year or so ago, and he was deathly afraid of sharks. And I was just like, why? You live in Switzerland. Yeah. There's
You're
no sharks.
You're never going to see a shark, yeah. If you don't need to, you don't have to.
Exactly. Wasn't so if you live in maybe South Africa, then I think there's sharks there.
Wasn't it killer whales?
Killer whales, they're just as bad, I think. Or if not worse.
Someone was scared of killer whales.
All those David Attenborough documentaries. Right, okay. Well, slugs is what you're definitely afraid of. And our final question brought to you by F1 Experiences is, Jess, what is your favourite F1 destination?
Good question.
Thank you.
Good question. Favourite F1 destination... has to be Monaco, no? I've never been, but I would have to say Monaco.
Yeah, I think that's a
place. It's a place like no other.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's mental, actually. It's ridiculous. That's what it is. It's ridiculous, but it's Monaco.
And it's the excitement from all the drivers that makes me so excited as well. Everybody likes Monaco.
Yeah, 100%. Well, listen, Jess, before we sign off, tell the people where they can find you. Where can they follow you? Where can they look you up on social media and so on?
Instagram and Twitter are the same, so it's at one Jessica Hawkins. Pretty simple. The number one, not O-N-E.
The number one, the numerical number one. Well, listen, Jess, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Harry's just knocked his microphone.
not my microphone flying there for a minute.
we wish you all the best for the remainder of the W Series season. I'm sure there are great things destined for you in the future. You're still incredibly young. This is still very early on in your motorsport journey. I'm sure we will see you at a paddock, hopefully sometime soon. All the best. Thanks so much for joining us and see you soon.
Thank you so much, guys. See you later.
Before you go, one final reminder to check out F1 Experiences, the official experience, hospitality and travel program of Formula One. F1 Experiences is the closest you can get to the sport. Official ticket packages which include the best race tickets, first class hotels, travel and exclusive behind the scenes access across a Grand Prix weekend. F1 Experiences offer packages like no other. So to book your F1 Experiences package, head online to f1experiences.com. And if you enter code Motormouth, you'll get 5% off too. Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter at Motormouth _, Instagram at Motormouth _official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can also download the Motormouth app where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. We're also proud to be supporting the Brain Tumor Charity too. So make sure you check the links in the podcast description to find out how you can help cure brain tumours quicker. Don't forget to like, subscribe and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.